Welcome to Podcast, a service of Chi Alpha Christian Fellowship at Stanford University. I'm Glenn Davis. We're going to take a break from our series on the prayers of the apostles because an area of the United States roughly equivalent to the surface area of the United Kingdom was just declared a federal disaster area because of Hurricane Katrina. Paula and I are both from Louisiana, and so this has affected us personally. Paula was sobbing in bed last night just thinking about the suffering of all the people who were trapped still in New Orleans. Fortunately, all of our family is safe, but not everyone is. So here's a $64,000 question. How are we as Christians to respond to tragedies of this scope, of this magnitude? Well, let me tell you how we don't respond. As I look through the pages of the Bible, what I don't find are a lot of prayer meetings after a disaster. Now, hold on, simmer down. I'm not about to preach heresy here. But I want you to understand something. There's a time for prayer and there's a time for action. And in the Bible, responses to disaster are always characterized by action. Now, I do think prayer should be a part of our response. Paul says, pray at all times, pray in all circumstances. We should pray in this circumstance as well. But we should not allow prayer to be our primary or our sole response. That is to dishonor our calling as Christians. So what should our primary response be? Well, as I look through the pages of the New Testament in particular, I'm always struck in 2 Corinthians chapters 8 and 9. Paul is talking to the church at Corinth about how they should respond to a natural disaster, specifically a famine. A few things strike me as I look at this passage. The first is that Paul expects the Corinthians to show preferential love for the believers in the afflicted area. I find that intriguing because so often the church's instinctive response, at least in North America, is, wow, we can really show the world our love and our compassion, and we can do this great thing to bring people to God. And that's not really where the biblical emphasis in response to disaster falls. We're supposed to love our brothers and sisters in Christ. Now, this does make a lot of sense from an evangelistic perspective in two ways. First, they will know that we are Christians by the love that we have for one another. As we demonstrate our love for our brothers and sisters in Christ, many of whom we have never met, it touches people's hearts. Second, as the people, as the Christians who are in that area receive our generosity, they are then able in turn to be generous to their non-believing neighbors around them and be a witness. They can be a living witness. We can only be a conceptual, abstract, a symbolic witness. Their witness is much more powerful than ours, but to be that witness, they need goods to show compassion to those in need. The bigger reason that we show preferential love for other Christians, however, is theological. They are really our brothers and our sisters in Christ. You may have never met anyone from New Orleans, but you are related to them by virtue of adoption. And in the same way that if you had a biological brother or sister living in New Orleans, you would give to them. You wouldn't give to the Red Cross. You wouldn't give to some other. You would give to them. We also ought to give towards our brothers and sisters who suffer. The second big thing that strikes me is just that Paul expects that people to think it through and not give emotionally or out of guilt, but to really analyze how much they can give and what they can give and feel cheerful and joyful about giving. I encourage you to do the same meditation. There's obviously much more to say about the whole subject of disaster response, but just a few thoughts from 2 Corinthians 8 and 9. I urge you to meditate on the passage and make some inferences of your own. For Podcast, this is Glenn Davis, Chi Alpha Christian Fellowship at Stanford University. You can visit us on the web at xastanford.com.